All right, Jake. Welcome back. You've
Good to
been
be back.
gone. You went around the whole world.
Dude, let me tell you what. We have had a weekend, and I am beat. It's been these last couple of days, they're a complete blur. It feels like a dream, honestly. I don't even know if what happened was real. It was crazy.
You went around the entire world in a few days.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So now you're heading into the week running on fumes. That's never a great idea, Jake.
Well, I just have to have a good day today, and then we'll be back.
Today's Sunday.
Recovery. Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hear about it. How'd you get around the world in such a short amount of time?
So my wife planned a trip for her sister's birthday, a couple months ago, and that trip happened to be on Friday. So we flew down to Epcot, and we went and visited every country that's at Epcot. There's 11 countries down there.
That don't know what Epcot is, there's probably a lot of them, actually.
Really? Okay.
I'm serious, dude. Okay. I didn't know what Epcot was till like 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, Epcot is one of the Disney parks in Florida. Their theme is kind of like, worldwide, right? So they have, it's the one with the big globe out front, right? The big, looks like a giant golf ball.
Yeah. It's not really a globe. It's like a giant golf ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so in the back they have, what they call the showcase of the world or whatever, a showcase of countries, and there's 11 countries and they're all, decorated with, the theme of that country. Right. And they have all their restaurants, their food and their drinks and their characters are all, like designed from that country. So what we did was we went to each country and we got a drink in every country.
So this started Friday morning.
Yeah. Our flight left at 5:30 in the morning. So okay. we left our house for the airport at like 3:30.
Yeah. We got
to the park at a little after 8, about 8:30. Park opened at 9. Wow. We left the park at 6, and then our flight back to Columbus was at 8. So we were like cutting it close to get to the airport, get through security, and get on our flight. And then we got home. It was about 11:30 p.m.
That's pretty good time.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys did it.
Yeah, it was quite a time.
So, did you have time to like ride any rides at all?
We actually got 4 rides in. So we got to the first country, which was Mexico, and
did you have a Modelo?
No, Margarita, actually.
That's the other thing that sounds horrible about this is 11 different drinks and they're all different.
Yeah. It's not like 11 beers. It's like, mixing in a cocktail here and there.
Oh, no. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
So we got to Mexico and, the first thing we did was we rode the globe ride, right? The golf ball ride.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So then we head straight for the back. We go to Mexico.
The golf ball ride is a snoozer, dude. It is so slow. Oh,
it's cool, but it's like taking you through history, and it's got all these little animatronics, and it's
a snoozer.
I find it interesting, but I could see how a lot of people would fall asleep in that.
When I rode that with my kids, I was like looking around, and all the older people that were beat from the park were just asleep.
Yeah. So then we go back to Mexico and we're like, hey, where's the drinks? And they said, oh, well, that place doesn't open until 11.
Oh, no. And
that place doesn't open until 10. And it's only 9:30. So
where's like, okay. The drinks?
we're like, is every country like that? And they're like, yeah, every country is going to be like that. Like, okay. So we run back to the front of the park and we hit another ride up front called Soarin'.
Oh, and that's supposed to be a good one.
Yeah. It's like you're like sitting in a seat and they like lift you up over like this big, it's like black underneath. And then they have a big screen in front of you that's like you're flying through, you know, different landscapes over the ocean and through mountains and fields and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Probably good. Good you did that before you guys drank a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. So then we go back to Mexico and now everything's open. So we're able to get some food. We get some drinks. And then after we eat, we start walking, you know, to the next country, and that's Norway. So we get, they had like coffee drinks and they had beer there. So, you know, we kind of hang out there for a little bit and we then move on. And we're just kind of progressing through all the countries. There's 11 of them. Mm-hmm. So by about country 4, we started slowing down a bit. And, that's when, you know, we started dancing a little bit more and, you know,
oh, wow.
Those videos you saw of her brothers, you know, doing the little dance. I think that was actually country 5, but yeah, things started getting pretty wild. It was a good time, but
yeah,
we finished in time. And then, their brand new roller coaster is Guardians of the Galaxy. It just opened like last year. And they have two times that you can get in the virtual queue. One of them is at 7 a.m. The other one's at 1 p.m.
The virtual queue.
Yeah. So you have to get on like right at those times and sign up on the app, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not one of the people that gets in line, you don't get to ride the ride.
Yeah. Isn't that thing called like the genie or something? Or
It's a little genie bit different pass. Than the genie. Yeah.
Oh, this, it's different.
Yeah. This is like outside. I think they got it rid of the genie. I think.
The genie pass, dude. That we were like living off that thing when we went there. Was it? I think we went 2 years ago or last year. My girls are dying to go back, but I did have fun.
Yeah.
Going with taking your kids to Disney World. I know Disney gets a lot of hate and all this, but dude. Your kids are only young once.
It's a magical place.
You have the rest of your life to be a grumpy old Disney hater. But when you have young kids, that's the time.
You gotta take them. Yeah.
They were getting a little woke there for a little bit, but I think they pulled back the rein. They pulled back the reins and hit the brakes, and the mouse is he's kind of on the straight and narrow now.
So we're sitting in Italy. It's 1 o'clock and my wife has my phone and she's like refreshing the world clock, waiting for it to hit exactly 1 o'clock. Right. So that she can like refresh and get in line. Right. So she gets in line at exactly 1 o'clock and the wait was 5.5 hours. So at that point we're like, well, we're not going to be here in 5.5 hours, we're going to have to leave. So we end up finishing our tour around the world, and then we're on our way back to the front. Maybe we hit another ride on the way out. We're like, let's just swing by there and see if they'll let us go in early. So we find a worker and we're like, hey, our flight leaves, you know, we're not going to be able to make this because our flight leaves too early. And she's like, just go in. It's fine. So, really?
So the whole thing's a scam.
It seems like it. So
that's awesome.
Jump in there. You do have to scan a card, or like a wristband
to prove you're in the queue.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, we got in, we got to ride the ride, and then we were like, sprinting out of the park. Like, we have to get to the airport right now. So I have an Uber waiting on us when we get there.
And he's like, where the hell are you guys?
Yeah. He was patient. I was texting him. I'm like, I'm almost there. I'll be there in 1 second.
Like, these damn Disney people, dude. Yeah. I always hate picking up Disney people.
So then we come around the corner, and our group was, you know, me and my wife, her sister, and her brother's girlfriend, and then her two brothers and her cousin. So her brothers and cousin were staying with her parents in Florida. So her parents were picking them up at the same time that we were getting in the Uber. So as we come around the corner to get to the Uber place, her parents are standing there waiting on the brothers. So they're all excited, like, oh, you know, that's the first time they've seen each other in a couple months.
Yeah.
So they were all excited. And then we get in the Uber, and I'm like, all right, man, we got to go to the airport because our flight's at 8 o'clock. And he's like, you're not going to make it. I'm like, we'll see about that.
So you made it?
So we made it. We had time. We got our plane boarded at 7:40, and we got through security at like 7:20.
So, oh, yeah. You killed it.
Yeah, it was – we cut it closer than most would like, but it was perfect. It worked well.
You did it perfect. Yeah, everything went perfectly.
Yeah.
And what's worst case? You're stranded in Orlando? Like, is that a big deal? No? Like,
well, it would have become a big deal because yesterday, the day after we do all of that whole trip, we had Gary's basketball tournament.
Yeah.
And so he played his first game at 11. And then if he wins that, he plays at 1:30. And if he wins that, he plays at 4:30, right?
It's a whole day.
That's a whole day again.
Ooh. Dude, I could never play three full basketball games. Like, these kids.
It's great. They're second and third grade. They're like, we're going to have them play three games.
Let's get this tournament over with.
Yeah. So we couldn't be stranded in Florida for the day because we had to watch Gary play basketball, right?
Right.
So we spent all day kind of juggling three kids in between this tournament because they were the three seed. So the first game that, you know, they were supposed to win, we played that team earlier in the year, and they ended up – it was closer than it was the first time, but we pulled it out. And then in the second game, our point guard got hurt, and Gary's like the backup point guard, right? So they put him in when the point guard got hurt, and he just went off. He ended up scoring 11 points. He was the leading scorer in the whole game, and we won the game by 1 point.
Oh, wow.
And, like, there was, like, with 10 seconds left, they got a steal, and they're, like, dribbling down the court, and our players trying to catch him, and they end up colliding. Oh, and because the kid stops to shoot and ours is still running at full speed and just and
then he's shooting,
but he wasn't shooting. They called it on the floor. The coach is like arguing with the ref and
wanting a shooting foul.
He's like, it has to be shooting foul. He's like, well, he wasn't shooting. He's like, well, then we're in the bonus. He's got to be, you know, it has to be 1-1, right?
And they're like, bonus.
So they asked the guy keeping score, like, how many fouls? And he's like, that was the third one for the half. So not the bonus. So then they're like, well.
And then you have a bunch of parents that don't understand the rules.
Yeah. So then the coach, like, the parents are kind of quiet, at least more quiet than it has been, while the coach is arguing with the ref. And the ref goes, or the coach goes, well, if you're not going to call it a shooting foul, call it a technical because that was a really aggressive foul. And I just yell, that's a stretch, coach. I'm like, come on, coach, that's a stretch.
Oh, you were the rowdy fan.
Yeah. Oh, I was, man, like, kind of making fun of him. And then the other ref is like, he's like, hey, we need to get this game moving. Do you want a timeout? And I'm like, he doesn't have any more timeouts. I'm yelling over all the other fans. He doesn't have any timeouts.
He didn't
take one. Uh-uh.
You're still drunk from Disney World.
Well, that was in the second game. So that was the two seed, and we ended up beating them. When we played them in the regular season, we lost to them by two. And then this time we ended up beating them by one.
Yeah.
But then in the third game, you know, at that point we just felt like, hey, we're in the finals. We've exceeded expectations. We're having a great time. You know, we've already won in our books, right?
Yeah.
And the team that we play is undefeated. And the last time we played them, they beat us by like 30 points. They slaughtered us, no. Right? So we ended up playing and we beat them pretty handily, actually.
No way.
The game was over with like 10 minutes left. We were up by like 12 points.
What a so, what an epic day.
It was an epic day. So then afterwards they did a whole trophy ceremony and the coach like presented each kid individually with a trophy and like told all the parents about like that kid and how he's grown and his role on the team and everything like that. It was pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
That meant a lot to him. But then afterwards, Gary is just kind of, he seemed kind of gloomy. I'm like, Gary, are you all right? Are you upset? He goes, no, I'm just really tired. Goes, deep down, my heart is partying. He's like, I'm just, I'm really tired.
Well, not everybody gets to be a winner. So it's pretty cool when you actually are.
Yeah, it was cool, like, seeing all those kids step up, you know, like, seeing Gary step up, being put in with the first team and, you know, not even batting an eye at it. And then, you know, they had to have somebody else step up to take Gary's spot on the second team, and that kid did it too. And, I mean, it was amazing to see, like, when we lost our most athletic player and everybody else just stepped up and got better. It was crazy. Sports are
great, man.
It was awesome.
There's nothing better than like kids in high school sports either.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, really, once you're invested, you know, you got a kid in there.
Yeah.
Watch them go through all those emotions, the highest of highs, the lowest of lows.
Yeah.
Kids getting hurt. I mean, all of it. It's fun to watch. And I don't know. It is. It just is.
Yeah.
A lot of emotion, like that. It kind of gets phased out eventually. Like, yeah, people are emotional in college and pro, but not to the same extent.
Yeah, college for sure. But you know, you get people that have
the pro.
They have no affiliation to the college, and it's getting way worse now. With all this NIL stuff.
Now the star players are basically
buying mercenaries. Yeah.
I'm already eyeing my next school. I don't really care. Where's the NIL deal? It's still my check's still coming.
Yeah.
That part of college is gone. We're like, yeah. Check's on the way. Check's always gonna be in the mail, baby.
I've had a big weekend and I'm beat. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, well, you sound a little better, even as the episode went on.
Yeah,
we're actually recording first thing in the morning for once. That's probably better.
Yeah,
we've been putting it off, and it kind of has not really been working out great. It always gets pushed off to the very end of the day, and it's like, oh, time for this.
Yeah,
dude. So last week. If you listen to it, my throat was getting a little scratchy.
Yeah.
I had to stop and cough a few times. Well, after that was on Sunday, well, then the next few days, I had some severe bronchitis set in. And if you remember, if you're a longtime listener, about the same time this year, last year was when I got pretty bad fit of bronchitis and just decided to not go to the doctor for 4 weeks. And ended up with a slight case of pneumonia. And anybody who's ever had pneumonia, there is no slight case of pneumonia. That sucks. So I saw that coming on this week. And what's funny is, so I went to the urgent care and started, you know, I'm pretty much better now. Hey, well, you know, like that worked really good.
Great idea, Craig.
Instead of battling, I know I'm getting smarter. So instead of battling bronchitis for 4 weeks, it's only been like a week, but hey, the medicine works pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn cool.
Oh my gosh. I wouldn't imagine.
Well, what's funny is I went into the urgent care and the doctor was pulled. There's like universal records now. I mean, it's kind of a newer thing. I mean, maybe it's not, but he's like, the doctor is like, he was kind of a Middle Eastern descent. He didn't speak perfect English, but wasn't awful. But he was like, "What's this? It looks like you were just prescribed prednisone and Z-Pak last week." And I'm like, "No, that was last week, last year." He's like, "Oh, last year." Yeah. He's like, "What are you doing?" It's like almost to the day,
That's funny.
exactly a year later, that I get the same thing. It's because I work outside, and apparently the end of February is when my lungs have just had enough.
You gotta
So
start wearing a mask.
I don't know. I
Get
don't know, dude.
you a vaccine.
Get a bronchitis vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then
I don't even
it's on
want to go
everything.
there. I don't even want to go there today, but I will. We'll get there.
I'm
So
totally baiting you.
I know you are. Don't get me riled up. But yeah, then the week went on, and my middle child, my 3-year-old, she had a bad fit. We got a flu or something going through our house now. So now, she started puking at 8 p.m. and she puked every 30 minutes to an hour till like 4 a.m. And she just, that was 2 nights ago. Well, then she woke up today and was throwing up again this morning. And Mama Bear's in a panic, waiting on everybody to drop like flies and let this run through our family. But hopefully it doesn't. But
So you guys are going through it then. Ooh.
hopefully not, but whatever. I don't get too worked up about it. Jess like has almost clinical grade anxiety, so she does. Like I was just like, it is what it is, babe. Like it's kind of
Can't
the
stop
only way. Can't. There's nothing. There's
it.
like, okay, like I have to take care of my daughter. Like, So I was with her all night, holding her hair, wiping her mouth, feeling bad for her. She's a tough little kid, but if I don't get it, like I don't even know. Are germs even real? Like, because I should get it. Because I don't know. I've been in, my immune system's been tapped out this week anyway.
Yeah.
So we're about to find out.
We'll
Just
find out.
trying to keep the baby healthy, but I don't know,
Well,
man.
just keep washing your hands.
I guess. Is hand washing real? Does it work?
Of course. As long as you use soap.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, well, we've been changing the sheets and spraying Lysol and whatever.
We're gonna have to make some True Patriot masks.
Oh yeah. What was funny is kids are so, they get over stuff so quick. She was puking all night that night, and then we had a surprise snow Saturday morning.
She
So
had to
then
go play in
she's ready to play in the snow.
it.
And I had to make her like not till like at least lunchtime. But then got the old 3-wheeler out, the old big red,
There you
and I
go.
had the had a ski rope tied to the back of the 3-wheeler and pulling the girls around in their sleds. That was it, we had a good little snow day. That'll be all melted by the end of today, and it'll be all nasty. But dude, that groundhog was wrong. We had a couple snows
A
since he
couple
did.
pretty large snows,
That's good though. I enjoy
it's
it.
nice.
I
It's
enjoy the
it,
snow.
me too. So we got back, our plane came in, landed, everything's clear. I wake up in the morning, 2 inches of snow on the ground. Like,
Yeah,
I'm like, where did
it was
that come
awesome. I don't know.
from? Yeah.
Well, I guess we better move this show along, brother.
Yeah, let's do
What do you want to talk about today? What I don't know what we're naming this show. Something along the lines of confidence and how to
it.
find it. Everybody knows what confidence is. but everybody, I don't know, what's the trick here? To gain confidence might be hard.
So I actually was talking to my sister-in-law this weekend, and she just started this job teaching at a local college in their nursing program. And she's talking about
Is this Jamie?
how and
Cool.
she yeah so she is talking about how she, like some of the content that she teaches was like, I guess earlier on in her education, right? So she's got a nursing degree. Then she went and got a master's degree in nursing. So she's very educated. You know, definitely qualified for the position. But she doesn't really remember the details of all of these things in the textbook, right? So she's like, I got to go teach, you know, all of these kids things, and I don't remember them. So I'm like cramming to study right before I go in and start teaching them. And
right, like, before the lecture.
Right. Yeah. And I said, you just have to remember that, like, you've at least learned this and you're relearning it, right? They're learning it for the first time. And you're like, you're the teacher. You're the expert on this subject. And while you don't feel like the expert, you know a hell of a lot more than they do. So you are, whether you like it or not, you're the smartest person in that room.
I don't know, dude. You've been to college. You know, there's always that real freaking nerdy kid that's like asking all those detailed questions. They've already read the they've already done just as much studying before the lecture as you.
Yeah.
That'd be rough to deal with.
Yeah, but I don't know. It seems like she's doing really well. I thought it was a good underlying point. Like, hey, you're being paid to do this, to do whatever it is that you're doing. It's because of what you know and how you do it, right?
Yeah. So how long ago did she start the job?
Just a couple months ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, confidence things go into starting a new job, especially something like that. Like, you're standing up in front of kids, public speaking, everything's getting tested. Wow. Like, but really, she's had the confidence to do it. She knows she can do it and she's doing it. That really what it comes down to after that is you throw yourself into these situations where you just have to perform.
Right.
And then you figure it out and you do. So she's a brilliant young woman. I mean, that's awesome to hear she's doing that and stepping up. And that, who knows what it's a. She's chosen. She's at a community college now. I don't know where she wants to go with this, but sounds like she opened up a whole new opportunity of career path and places to go. And
you know, I think she's, you know, she's young. She's early in her career. So it's good to find out now whether this is something that interests you or not, right?
Right.
So if it is, great. If it's not, then now you know. I think, you know, no matter what you're doing, you know, in my job, I deal with customers, right? And they ask me questions. And, you know, sometimes I'm in situations where I don't know the answer.
So what do you do when you don't know the answer? Do you pretend to know the answer? Or you just really real and tell them, like,
I don't, because in my job, if I tell them something and it's not right, like, they're going to hold me to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My answer is usually, I'll look into it and get back to you. Let me run the numbers. I'll get back to you.
Well, I think that's the way to go, because you never want to be known as a freaking, you know, as a bullshitter.
Right.
Like, you know, oh, well, his word's no good. Like, you never want that to be your reputation. Because once you do that one time, it's hard to ever come back from it.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, they'll ask me questions about, you know, what goes on at my plant, and, you know, what our products can do, that sort of thing. And as I get to talking to them, I realize that when we're talking about this subject, like, I'm the expert here. I'm the guy that they're coming to because they don't know the answer. And, you know, they probably told somebody else that, I don't know the answer. Let me go find out. And then they come to me. It's like,
I mean, that's it's a weird thing when you know, we're middle-aged, but at the same time, we've both, like, I've been doing what I've been doing for a long time now too. Like, I have,
you probably have young guys looking at you and what do I do here?
It's a weird transition, and you don't want to be overbearing, and no one wants, you know, no one, you can't just demand respect.
Yeah.
Because that never works. When you know someone's, you know, you don't, but then, you know, your confidence when these situations come up, when you are the expert mm-hmm. and you do know what the heck's going on, everybody else is looking around and they tried something, they're just like got that, you know, dump out. When you're the one that is not flustered and confident about things, it's kind of a big shift. But when you're confident, I mean, that demands respect. When you know what to do and take actions that work, that demands respect. Not you can't just actually demand respect, but the confidence will gain you respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, I mean, if you want respect, I mean, I'm sure everybody does, but there's only the only way to go about gaining people's respect is confidence and the willingness to admit you're wrong. I mean, a lot of my confidence comes from the fact that I know I'm not going to quit. I know I'm not going to quit. And I find comfort in knowing that. I mean, that is the root of, you know, why, where my confidence comes from. I know I'm not going to quit. When you have that, what can stop you? Like, yeah, I know it's going to get better. I know I'm not going to quit. I know I'm going to find a way. I mean, I think that's pretty powerful too. Yeah. Little thing. Here's what I want to try to talk about. What if someone's lacking confidence? Let's talk about, you know, ways to build your confidence. And I know we kind of have some overlapping themes and we talked about some of this stuff before, but I really believe it starts with the beginning of your day. The moment you wake up, you can't, well, actually, it starts before the beginning of the day. It starts the night before. You got to plan out what you're going to do first thing in the beginning of the day. You got to be thinking about it. You can't just wake up and think about the stuff you need to do, or it's already too late. Just wake up and have the stuff you want to do in your mind. You need to have your morning routine set. So you don't want your morning to be like a chicken with your head cut off, right? Yeah. So you got to have your morning routine set. You got to wake up when you want to wake up. You got to set your alarm, and you don't hit the snooze button, because the moment you start doing that, you start throwing your whole freaking day off.
Yep.
So you got to make little promises to yourself, like, I'm going to wake up when I say I'm going to. You know, whatever your routine is, I'm going to make my coffee. I'm going to make my breakfast. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to get yada yada XYZ done, you know, before, and you're gonna have all these little tiny wins. You know, I'm gonna brush my teeth. Like, I'm gonna have all my win, all these little tiny wins make you in control of your life before the rest of your house is even awake, before the sun comes up. It really sets your day up like, I'm in control. That's somewhere to start with building your confidence. And that, along with that, you know, we always talk about this. Put planning exercise into your day, getting 30 to 40 minutes of exercise in. There's obviously a million reasons why that's a good thing, but just to know you've planned a part of your day to prioritize your physical fitness is a big deal. I mean, that's really, those are the things I do to gain confidence. Then the smallest little details can make you feel so much better. And that not only translates to your feelings on the inside, but also the outside. What else did we have on confidence, Jake?
I guess I was thinking more along, you know, lines of why confidence is important and what confidence can do for you, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I had a little story. You know, I kind of talked about Gary's basketball season and the end of it. But really, looking at the season as a whole, from the first practice to the championship game.
It was
quite a journey for all the kids, but Gary in particular, because, you know, I watched Gary so closely. So at the beginning of the season, you know, first day of practice, coach says, all right, everybody line up and just dribble the ball down and dribble the ball back. All right, everybody line up and shoot a layup, right? We need to figure out who can do what so we can put you in position to see who can do what. And Gary is the smallest kid out there. There's one or two kids that are roughly his size, but he's one of the smallest kids out there. But I watched Gary play in a church league last year, and he dominated in that church league. He was like one of the best players in the league, right?
Yeah.
But they play on lower hoops, they play with a smaller ball, and the kids there were just not as aggressive as the kids in this league, right? And now he's,
because they're church league kids,
right? But he's like, it's a second and third grade league, and he's in second grade, and he's a small second grader, right?
Yeah, and he's young. You didn't.
He's young for his age. Yeah,
he's young for his grade.
Right.
He's young for his age. For his age.
Yeah, he's young for his grade. He steps out on that court, and I can.
Yeah, he's at a disadvantage.
Yeah. So the first couple practices and games, he doesn't have the ball in his hands. In fact, at the beginning of the season, it was, and really toward the end of the season, it was, get the ball to the point guard. If you get the ball, give it to the point guard. If you're the point guard, go score. That's the entire offense, right? So if Gary were to get a steal, he would have to pass it to the point guard, which was a third grader, right? Kid that's bigger and, you know, a little bit better dribbler. So he didn't have the confidence in himself to even dribble the ball because he wasn't put in a position that, like, the coach told him, if you get the ball, give it to that kid, right?
Yeah.
So then one of the players got hurt, that point guard, he got hurt earlier in the year too. And they said, okay, well, guess Gary's going to have to be, you know, play point guard today. He's going to have to be the kid on his team that everyone passes the ball to.
He got a little taste.
Yeah. And when he, in that game, you could see a transition where he was a kid that was, you know, play defense and, you know, just give the ball to the point guard, to now it's his show and he's going to dribble around. he's going to dribble and attack. And, you know, he took leadership, right, of his five. Mm-hmm. And every game after that, he was the point guard and practice. He was the point guard. And he became like the leader, one of the leaders of the team, to the point where in the championship game, they actually, the coach actually put him on the other team's best player for the entire game.
Wow.
Because it created a better matchup for our other point guard, right? And he shut the kid down. I mean, he played great. He was like in the kid's head, and you know, he held him to, you know, just a couple baskets. It was amazing to see his confidence in himself grow. And toward the end of the season, he became a great player because he believed in himself like we believed in him, right? You know, the beginning of the season was frustrating because I'm like, this isn't who you are. Where is Gary? Why don't you believe in yourself? Why don't you shoot the ball? Why don't you dribble? And by the end of it, he's like, you remember the movie Semi-Pro, the Will Ferrell movie where he's,
I mean, I remember the movie, but not much.
So they have the one guy on their team that's really good. And he like, he's dribbling back and forth the whole time. He's like running under the bat, just like basically running laps around the half court, and all five players from the other team are chasing him, and he's not even looking to pass. And then Will Ferrell standing there like, "Hey, I'm open. I got you right here if you need me." And then he just ends up just shooting a three and it goes in. Like that's what it looked like at the end of the season. Gary just dribbling around in circles and his teammates are like, hey. but I mean, then he got into, hey, these guys are wide open. I'm gonna pass it to them.
So that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So he's
watching him grow as a basketball player, as a point guard, and as a leader this year was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think it was all driven off of the confidence that he was the next point guard, right? That moment,
it like flipped the
switch. He was the next guy. It's his turn. Yep.
Eventually, when you're doing something, if you do anything long enough, you're going to look around, and there's no one to look around to anymore. It's you. Like,
yeah.
And that's how life – it's just called growing up, man. Like, then eventually – you're the man of the house and there's no one to look around to. You got to do it. Like
it's you. Yeah.
It's you. It's you. There's no
can't
one
call to, mom, right?
Yeah, eventually, no. I mean, sad to say, you know, a lot of us have people listening to this. You lose your parents, you lose everyone you look up to. Eventually, it's a sad reality of life, but it's weird. Like all those voices, you'll know what to do. The voice, everything you've learned, everything's still in your head. Even if your dad's gone, or you know what he would say. It's in there. Definitely. It's kind of it's crazy, but I mean that's confidence.
Yep.
You know what to do. I had a Bible verse. I told you how I used to say this. Old Bizlam. Little psalm. I told you, Jake likes to make fun of how I don't pronounce anything right. I told him how I used to pronounce psalm in my head. Islam. We got Islam. 118 verses 8 through 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So, what's that mean? I need Gary.
Yeah, I think it means
it's better to trust the Lord than to the man. Right. So don't put your confidence in other men is basically what that's saying. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. When I think of princes, I think of the government or I'm trying to translate this to modern day. Like you don't need to put your confidence that someone's going to save you.
Yeah.
Put your trust in the Lord and yourself. So I don't know. I think that's pretty good talk, man. I think we got it covered. What do you want to do now? Oh boy, it's Patriot of the Week.
Patriot of the Week.
I forget what we're even doing. I didn't even research this very well. Once again, I want to get caught.
Patriot of the Week?
Yeah. I mean, as you can tell, I didn't research last week's very well. I got stuck with Donald Trump.
We got to do Patriot of the Week first before Patriot picks.
Oh, I read it wrong.
You are lost.
Oh, Patriot of the Week.
Patriot of the Week.
You got Patriot of the Week. Then we're doing Patriot picks.
Yes. My Patriot of the Week is the firefighters from Mid County, Missouri. Mid County firefighters. They were helping out an ambulance that had requested a helicopter to the scene. So they show up there to kind of help provide any assistance that they can. And while they are on the scene, they end up finding a bald eagle that's wounded in a ditch nearby.
Oh.
Yeah. So they pick the bald eagle up and they call some conservationists from University of Missouri and they take it back to the fire station and take care of it until the conservationists show up to help it out.
That's good.
Yeah, saved a bald eagle.
I got it. Well, I've actually been seeing a lot of bald eagles around lately.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. But I actually work with a guy that shot a bald eagle.
I think you've told this story. He put it on the hood of his car.
Yeah. He got arrested. Yeah. He was like, he just turned like 16. This is back in the 70s or something. Or probably 80s. But he thought he saw a bald eagle. He's so young and dumb. He thought it'd be a good idea to shoot that baby down. And then he was so proud of himself, he put it on the hood of his car and was driving it down the main street of his town.
Oh, my goodness.
He got arrested.
Isn't that like a federal crime or something?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. He'd probably kill me if he knew I was telling the story. But you only know who did it if you actually know. You have to know the guy. Like, no one's ever going to know who I'm talking about. You have to know the guy to know that story.
Yeah.
But gosh, that's funny. My Patriot of the Week comes out of Ohio, Mentor, Ohio. I'm really on an Amazon kick here, but this is an Amazon driver, Jaquan Fletcher out of Mentor, Ohio. He got caught on, one of those door cameras or whatever, we had some snows here recently, as we've talked. He's been caught red-handed shoveling, you know, certain homes' driveways. There's a guy, his name's Don Wheeler. Jaquan was doing this just as part of his little, he wasn't looking for recognition or any of this, right. But Don Wheeler's wheelchair bound. And anytime it snows, Jaquan shovels off his ramp. And he's been doing this all winter. And it's kind of, you know, Don wanted to, you know, I guess he sent the footage into a news station or something, but just something kind of cool, man. To help another human, as we talk about, like something so small that can make someone's day so much better. The guy's in a wheelchair, you know, it really helped him out to shovel off that little bit of snow. So good on you, man.
Yeah, and that's a good example of giving without boasting, right? Like we talked about last week.
Yeah. He wasn't looking for it, but I guess Don gave it to him. And after this story came out, I think a few others have said, you know, Fletcher does this at more houses than just Don. So
yeah,
what a great guy. It's the little things. It's the little things. So now we can do Patriot picks.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. This kind of sucks. I have a dime today.
Okay.
Okay. What do you want?
Tails.
You can announce the Patriot picks while I'm doing it.
Yeah. So this week we're going to do top board games.
Top board games.
That's ahead.
Yeah, I guess I get to go with the top board game.
Top board game.
Wow. And like I said, I have not thought about this, so I'm going off the fly. I know what you're going to pick for your top board game.
Of course. We've talked about it a million times.
And let me tell you. I'm going to take it. It's chess.
Yeah.
I'm taking it.
But we talked about confidence earlier and getting confidence. And let me tell you, there's not much that will give somebody more confidence than playing Craig in chess.
Dude, I don't even know why. I just picked that just because I wanted to take it from you.
Yeah.
But it's been played for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Hundreds,
probably hundreds, yeah, not thousands.
Hundreds of millions of years. The Neanderthals in caves actually invented chess. They're playing with rocks. Okay. Maybe hundreds of years. It's a good game. I'm getting tired of it. Actually, since you started me playing on chess.com, I'm now playing you, your wife, and your son. In online chess.
Boy, so, I cannot wait until Gary beats you. I can't wait.
It's not going to be this game.
No, he doesn't have his iPad for a couple of days, so he's not going to be able to play you back.
So, yeah, I like playing chess, but it's getting to the point where it's almost one of those big time wasters in my life. It is. Yeah. It's going to get cut out like gambling.
Yeah.
It's a sickness. It's a disease. You want to see how many games I've played? How do you look up these stats? Since I started playing chess with you, I played 201 games of chess online within the past
90 days.
Year. No, year. 90 days. No. Good Lord. 201 games. So I'm like, I don't even know when I opened this account, but pretty much I've played every single day ever since you had me download the dang game.
Pretty close, yeah. In the past 1 year, I've played 1,094 games.
How do you do this?
You just always have games going.
That's like three games a day. Yeah, it's a little over. Nah, about three.
Yeah.
Wow, dude. You spend a lot of time playing chess.
A decent amount.
All right, what's your top board game besides chess?
Yeah, Chess was definitely going to be my number one pick. I'm going to go with Clue. Another classic. That's the one, Colonel Mustard in the ballroom, you know?
Yeah,
who, I don't who did know. The murder? You don't know Clue?
I didn't really play Clue very much. No, not really.
What?
No, not really.
Are What's you serious? Your...
Okay. No, not really.
Okay. All right.
Do you get to go again?
Yeah. My second pick, I will be shocked if you know this game. It is Settlers of Catan. Ever heard of it?
No, sounds super nerdy.
Kinda. It's basically you it's like a dice game where you set up, you know, settlements and stuff. You get, based on what's rolled, you get resources, and you use those resources to build more settlements and cities, and you can like trade with the other players and get what cards you need and stuff like that. So it's fun.
Yeah.
We play it with her family all the time.
Okay. Well, I got a couple more picks. I mean, it's a lot of good ones here.
A lot of good ones.
I'm going to have to take Monopoly. I mean,
Monopoly, solid.
You got to help you learn how to count with money, buy up some real estate. Get your little financial brain working. Then, man, I'm having a tough time deciding here. I mean, gonna have to go with Guess Who. Is that the name of it? The little, is that count as a board game?
The one you flip down with all the faces?
Yeah, kind of.
All out. Yeah, that's
kind of a lot. I mean, I like playing it with my kids. I like playing it when I was a kid. You kind of get your logical brain working, process of elimination.
Yeah.
Get some good standard scientific thinking pounded in your head. It's really, you grow out of it real quick, but it's a good game.
Yeah.
What you got?
My last pick is Connect Four.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yep. That's another one that's strategy kind of. You know, one-on-one, similar to chess, but much easier.
Yes. So checkers did not make the cut. That probably should have. But
once you start playing checkers, or once you start playing chess, checkers just becomes a little elementary, right?
Some other good ones. What we got, like
Operation.
Yeah, Operation's on there. We got, what else we got on there? Candyland.
Candyland.
Classic. Battleship. Twister. I guess that's a board game, barely.
Yeah.
I'm just going through a list now. What?
We play one called Secret Hitler, where there's what? Like...
You got some weird game.
You play it with a group of people. This one is so fun.
Secret Hitler.
You have like Hitler, and depending on how many people play, you have anywhere from like 1 to 3 fascists with them, but the other team doesn't know who they are, and they have to like try to figure out who's Hitler and kill him before the end of the game. And Hitler's like trying to pass rules and like kill people off.
Is this an actual game, or you just make?
No, I swear.
It's an actual board game. Like you buy it.
Yes.
Secret Hitler.
Yes. Okay. We'll have to play it next time you come up. It's fun.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Does Jenga count as a board game?
I would say so. It's close enough.
It's fun.
Yeah, I like Jenga.
Jenga is probably better than, what the heck did I pick? I had chess, Guess Who,
and Monopoly.
Yeah, I'd put Jenga in there. If I could go back again, I'd put Jenga in there.
Yeah,
it's fun. That's freaking fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Who doesn't like a little game of Jenga?
All right. Current events. Anything catch your eye this week, or is it just filled with my current events?
Just you, buddy.
Dude, but you said
I do have some thoughts on your current events, though.
Okay. Well, I told you I had a lot of stuff catch my eye, but you know, where were you at during the AT&T T-Mobile shutdown? Let's go through that. We got to recap everybody. The whole world freaked out. What day was that? Thursday?
Thursday, yep.
Morning?
Uh-huh.
Where were you at? What was going on?
I'll tell you this. I didn't know that it was happening until late in the day. I was at work, and it wasn't until there was like so much stuff going on at work that it wasn't until one of the guys, one of my coworkers said that his phone was turned off. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh yeah, it's AT&T. That's that whole thing going on. Like, yeah. What are you talking about? So yeah, it was like late in the day. I didn't even know what was going on.
Well, see, I woke up first thing Thursday morning. I was like, oh, that was the night that Sylvie was sick. So I was up all night dealing with her being sick. And then I looked at my phone and it said, you know, SOS, no service. I was like, dang it, man. I guess my phone finally took a crap. Like, my iPhone's kind of beat up, like, in the back. There's, like, a little bit of parts exposed. I'm like, well, it finally did it. It finally...
Parts exposed?
Yeah, like, can you kind of... Like, okay, My back case is chipped. Like, you can kind of see... Goodness. You can kind of see a little... Tech.
That thing has seen better days.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I guess a little shard of glass finally got up there and messed up my cell connection. So I've told Jess before I went to work, I'm like, hey, I like nudged her sleeve. I'm like, hey, my phone's not working. Bye. I didn't go nowhere. And then I didn't find out. I work in an area that doesn't really have a lot of cell service anyway.
Yeah.
So I didn't find out till around lunch either that the rest of the world's phone wasn't working either. So I was like, cool. Now I don't have to spend $1,400 on a new iPhone. Like,
I can keep using this beat up piece of crap.
I'm so thinking like, thank you. I was like so happy that the rest of the world's phone, because I go through this often.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like in and out of equipment all the time. Stuff just happens. One time, like, I had my phone in my pocket and a dump truck blew a tire, and I was standing like 30 feet away from this dump truck that ran into a piece of angle iron, and he popped his tire.
Yeah.
And a little rock flew and hit me in the leg, and it happened to be where my phone was in my pocket, and it destroyed my phone. Like, awesome. Like,
yeah.
Like, stuff just happens all the time. My phones get destroyed, but yeah. So, what the heck did they decide was the cause of that?
Basically, somebody. They were trying to like expand their network. So they were doing like some sort of process to, I don't know, improve things. And instead they like shut it down. So somebody definitely got fired over this.
So, well, initially happened that everybody was saying solar flare, this and that, like did that just not happen?
No,
that was just a bunch of bullcrap.
They also said, we're being hacked, but
it was really like probably some IT guy messed up and hit the wrong button and it took hours to figure out how to fix it.
Probably. Yeah. Like some janitor was like mopping the floor and hit a button on accident.
like
turned everyone's phones off.
Like, unplug it and plug it back in. It's not working. It's not working.
Exactly.
Kind of like that, but in IT,
right?
Like they hit something, messed up the code, shut all the servers down. They could not figure out how to plug it back in.
Yeah.
Some tech guy. Imagine, you know, this guy we went to high school. Imagine he's like Dustin Jeske. Like, he's messed something up at school, or not at school, at work. He works for AT&T. He messed something up in he ruined the entire network, and they're trying to figure out how to plug it back in. He's like, big IT mystery.
Yeah.
I bet they learned a lot.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure they have a lot of procedures in place. Like, make sure you check this. Like, when this happens, they have a checklist of things to look for. And they usually have a checklist. And that item wasn't on it. now it's on that checklist.
Yeah, their system got breached.
Yeah.
Wow. Over. The other stuff I saw, not a super big deal, but this is going to Supreme Court in Indiana. Some parents have a trans child, a juvenile. I guess the state has relocated the child because the parents, they're Catholic parents. They had a son that's now identifying as a female, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
And the parents are refusing to acknowledge that the boy has decided to become a trans woman, and they're not calling him or her by the proper pronouns, and the state has ruled that child is being abused, and they have relocated the child into a different home because of the result of them not using the proper pronouns. This is happening. This crazy. Is coming to a head. We've talked about this before.
Indiana.
Yes, this is happening currently in Indiana, and I think the state court has, you know, ruled to relocate this kid into a different home over pronouns, man. And
it's crazy.
If it can happen, I mean, this is now going to the Supreme Court, I guess. So I guess we're going to have a ruling here that's going to blanket all the states here soon. Right. This is actually a big deal.
Pretty big deal, yeah.
I can't believe it. I mean,
yeah.
Here we are.
Well, what's sad about this whole thing is there are so many kids living with bad parents who are abusive that are forced to stay in that situation because we're focusing on this, right? Like, I don't know if these parents are good or bad, but if this is the reason that you're giving to take the kid away, like, this isn't abuse. This is a kid going through something, and they need, you know, they all kids fight with their parents, right? We wouldn't have parents if they got taken away every time they didn't see eye to eye.
Well, I'm guessing the kid, I mean, I'm just putting words, this is my two cents. I'm guessing the kid wants to leave.
Probably. And what also sucks about this is, regardless of the way the Supreme Court rules on this, that relationship between parent and child is already fractured. Like, that's going to be very difficult to come back from.
That sucks. Yeah. I don't know what to say, but I just want to make y'all aware that this is going to the Supreme Court. And we're going to be living in a world. I mean, I'm imagining the Supreme Court's going to strike it down and say, you got to live with your parents till you're 18, no matter what they call you. I mean,
yeah. Well, then, you know, the next step would just be to get emancipated, which is a totally different process anyway. So,
well, what's that mean? Like, get removed?
Like you're not, you're still a minor, but you're treated as your own guardian. Like, you don't have a guardian anymore.
Wow.
So that goes on today. That's, you know, if you're in an abusive relationship, and you're a kid, you can seek emancipation, right?
So, like probably if you're like 16, I imagine, or
right.
You gotta be able to,
you have to be able to show just cause and, you know, really be, you have to have a lot of hoops to jump through, right? A lot of things to check off before you're granted emancipation. But I mean, that's something that happens already.
So now, since this is going to the Supreme Court, am I right in saying that once they rule on this, it applies to all the states? Is that correct? I mean,
it becomes federal law. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not federal law, but it's a federal ruling, right?
Like, it's what every state court has to turn to that for guidance.
It's a precedent.
Yeah. So we're going to hopefully put an end to this.
I hope so.
I mean, I'm not a get, dude, the trans thing is happening. It's like inevitable. Yeah. There's going to be trans kids. Right. Like, not that I believe it, but the way the world is happening, like, they exist, they're out there, but they're still kids. To me, like, they still got to live under that roof. And then when they're 18, yeah, do whatever you want. But when you're a minor, like, you don't really have a say. I don't think you really get to have a say whether your parents are going to call you whatever they want. I don't know. Like, how can you take a kid away for? I mean, I get it. It's a tough topic, I guess. I don't want to sound like I would be mortified as a parent, you know, my kid started doing that. But I don't know what I'd do. But I don't think it's up to the state to decide that you got to take your kid away if you're gonna, however you're gonna choose to go through that.
Yeah,
we'll see. I guess it'll be interesting. We'll have to. Everybody's gonna see it in the news, I guess, when this trial goes through. But the other news we got, sticking on the trans topics, we had Kid Rock on Joe Rogan, man.
Yeah,
he seems he's back on the Bud Light.
So yeah,
he posted
Bud Light paid him off.
he posted Joe Rogan posted a picture, had a great time hanging out with Kid Rock and getting wasted on Bud Light.
Yeah,
that whole thing came to a head.
Yeah.
So you think he got paid off? Do you?
Didn't he say he got paid off? Well, he got a visit from the CEO of Bud Light.
Visited his bar in Nashville or something.
Yeah.
And I mean, slipped him a check or something.
I'm sure he did.
Dude, he caused so much damage to their business.
I mean, they caused right?
But
Kid
Rock really set it off.
He was like the poster child for it. For some now reason.
He's back on the Bud Light. It brought a lot of awareness about Anheuser-Busch. That's for sure. Like,
yeah.
I don't think anybody realized. Well, it's InBev, right? It's not
Bev. AB InBev. Yeah.
InBev. So, like, everybody now knows their entire business structure.
Dude, they own everything.
No one really knew what brands were connected to Bud Light until now. It's like,
yeah,
so it's many.
Like most of them. Yeah.
Like, wow. What an event. Are you going back to, did you ever boycott Anheuser-Busch products?
No, I didn't drink Bud Light anyway. I drink Busch Light.
So I
was drinking it the whole time.
So Busch Light.
I can assure you that anything that Kid Rock does will never have an influence on anything that I do.
It didn't. Well, I was a lifelong Bud Light drinker.
Yeah.
That whole thing did have an influence on what I drink, because I, along with most Americans, don't like making political. I don't want the beer I drink to be a political statement.
Yes.
No one does. That's why I think they learned a lot of lessons from.
But here's the thing. By being a Bud Light drinker and this happens, Bud Light gets political. You don't like it. So you stop drinking. You stop drinking Bud Light and drink something else. That's making a political statement with your beer choice.
Well, I also didn't realize I like supporting American companies. I didn't realize like they were no longer an American-owned brand.
Yeah, yeah.
In that whole thing. So now
haven't been the entire time you've been drinking it.
I didn't realize that. So yeah. Now my go-to, I guess, is Miller Lite when I do drink. And then it's really caused me to. Then I just like drink more local beers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of microbrewery type places in every state. It's a little more expensive, but I've kind of been drinking more of those. And really, when I was in my exploration stage, I kind of started, whenever I see this beer, I'll buy it now. I like that old Shiner Bock, man, out of Shiner, Texas.
Yep.
I'll grab a six pack of that.
Pretty solid beer.
And we got a lot of Texas listeners, so I know they know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I've been on that Shiner, boy. It's all the way up here in Ohio.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll grab some Shiner Bock.
Yep.
Some dark, high calorie. It's probably put a, added some calories to my father figure. But I don't know. What a saga. It's finally come to an end. Dude's went on Joe Rogan holding a Bud Light now.
There you go.
I wonder how much money they gave him, like him and Joe Rogan both. Like that's one of those sneaky ads. Oh, like,
I'm sure they paid both of those guys.
How much is that worth for Joe Rogan and Kid Rock to post a picture on social media with Bud Light?
Honestly, probably $1 million to each of them.
I think more.
Probably.
It probably, in a lot of people's eyes, it's kind of dumb. Like, I'm not going to go back to drinking Bud Light now. I've made the switch. Yeah. But I bet it will sway half the people that stop.
Probably.
To just drop it and come back. I mean, it's worth probably more than
a couple. Kid Rock says it's okay.
Yeah, it's probably worth, that's probably worth more than a couple million to InBev. That's probably worth like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's probably worth like $5 million. Easy. Easy.
Well, that's nothing to them.
Well, it's a lot to them after so much business they've lost over the last. When did that start? Like a year ago?
Yeah.
What a massive mistake. That's what they got for listening to the Harvard grad on their marketing scheme. I was kind of looking at this a little more. When they made those ads with Dylan Mulvaney, they paid Dylan for two social media posts. They paid him $185,000 to destroy their business.
Hey, that's good work if you can get it.
Man, can they slip us? Hey, okay, I will drink some Bud Light again. You just give us $185,000.
Yeah.
And they can change me back.
I'll drink it right now wearing a Bud Light shirt and hat. That's fine.
I'll do it for 10 grand. Screw it. For 10 grand.
Yeah.
All right. The other news, we got the New York mayor really wanting to take care of the illegal immigrants. It's kind of going to be the destination for all, right? He's introduced, you kind of looked into this a little bit. He wants to introduce a debit card program that gives any illegal that enters NYC $10,000.
So it's not any illegal. It is, there are guidelines set up, and actually they can't be illegal. They have to have requested asylum in the United States, which means that they are trying to go through the process of becoming American citizens. They're just not yet.
Yeah, well.
So it's not illegals. It's just immigrants.
What was with taxpayer money?
It is. but they're trying to put stipulations on it where it can only be used for rent, utilities, clothing, you know, other necessities like that.
Oh, yeah. Just like the PPP loans and all that.
You know that that's not going to happen, right?
There's no systems in place. Once the money's spent, it's gone.
Yeah. So I don't know where this money's actually going, but it's going to be very difficult to track the money when you hand them out on prepaid debit cards. $10,000 increments. Yeah, it's a crazy idea.
Is it going through?
I mean, even if you're handing them to American citizens, it's still a terrible idea.
Yeah, so they got that going on in New York. Further, just more corruption.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. So good thing we don't live there. No one
should. Yeah.
That sucks. I really didn't have much else I wanted to bring up. I feel better now. Got all that off my chest.
Good. I'm glad we're here for your therapy session.
My brain about broke in half with all this talking.
Girl. Oh, man.
Back on that trans Bud Light talk. Whoa. Yeah. All right. I feel better now. Let's move on.
All right. What the crap?
What the crap? All right, now I feel bad again. What's going on?
All right. My what the crap comes from Orlando, Florida.
Oh, a crazy place.
Yeah. Hey, I was just there. Anyway, we have a woman named Michelle Klein. She is the mother of two students at a private Christian prep school, Liberty Christian Prep School in Orlando, Florida. Now, she started an OnlyFans under the name Piper Fawn. And she advertised her account by putting a decal on the back window of her SUV. So, of course, she starts dropping kids off at school with this decal on the back of her.
Oh, is it a big decal?
I think it started out as a small one. And then the got school's bigger. Like, hey, you can't have that. And she says, make me.
And it got bigger.
So then they they said that she's not allowed to pull into the parking lot to drop her kid off anymore. Oh, she has to park across the street and make them walk across the street.
Well, that this it.
So then she got a full size decal and parked across the street.
But this is a Christian. This is a private school.
It's a private school. Yes.
So they get to make. They can make rules like that since they're not public. So this woman's paying to send her kids to school that she can't even.
Well, she park was. At. She was, because when she got the bigger window decal in the back and parked across the street. It was still getting quite a bit of attention at school, so they ended up expelling her students, right? Both of her kids got kicked out. So she, of course, went to the media and, hey, this is a bunch of bull crap and everything. Oh, well, now they have expelled 9 additional students, boys in the school, because they looked up the OnlyFans account. You got these high school kids looked up the mom's OnlyFans account after seeing the window sticker. And the school has now expelled 9 additional students.
It sounds like the school got rid of a lot of their money.
I guess, but they took a pretty hard stand against it. So
that OnlyFans woman, that couldn't have went any better for her. That's exactly what she wanted to happen.
But man, her poor kids.
Yes, her poor kids. That sucks.
That's crazy.
This woman sucks.
This woman sucks a lot. That's why she's got an OnlyFans.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Should we make OnlyFans illegal?
I don't think we can.
It can't be stopped.
No. I think we just need to have a way to limit it, right? It's like I also read this week that they're not gonna allow advertisements on for recreational marijuana on billboards, right? So we need to have those same advertisement rules in place for OnlyFans. Like, it should be illegal to put it on the back of your car, right?
I don't.
So
all these, what do they call these guys? Simps, losers. Yeah. All these guys need to just stop, dude. Just stop. Yeah. You're wasting your own brain.
It's crazy.
Stop being a slave to this stupid. It's just bull crap, dude. Like, lust and pleasure. Like, you have to get rid of all that crap. Just drink. I guess if you have to pick a vice, I'd say probably just drink beer or something.
Or gamble. I don't know.
Or gamble. Anything. Anything but that. It's the most embarrassing one of all.
Yeah.
Just be trans. I don't know, dude. I'm just joking around, but seriously, that woman sucks. My what the crap comes out of Texas, an antique store in Harris County, Texas. I'm not sure what the town is, but we had a shopper. This guy, he's described as a burly man wearing a kilt. And I'm looking at some video footage of him now. He's like wearing a wife beater. He's got a bald head and he's wearing a green kilt.
Okay.
his name is Mitchell Vest. He was browsing an antique store. Then he's caught on footage. He's being arrested. He was just shoving stuff up his butt that was in the store. He's walking around the store
in a kilt.
And caught in a kilt.
Easy access.
Caught on video, he shoved a makeup brush up inside of the kilt, a bottle opener, and a restoration hardware item. So, I don't know, like a
flash drive? Be,
no. Restoration hardware. You're too techie. Like a handle to a cabinet or something. Like a hinge or a cabinet handle, a piece of hardware he shoved up his ass.
Gotcha.
And he's been arrested.
Assuming he's trying to steal these items? Or is he just sticking them up there and putting them back?
No, he shoved them up his butt, and then he put them back on the shelf. Yeah. He's just walking around shoving stuff up his butt and then putting it back on the shelf. That's what he does.
Did he like lose a fantasy football bet or something?
No, that's what he does. That's what he did. That's his thing. And he's been caught. It's kind of like a flea market type place. There's a bunch of different vendors in there. They've made a public statement saying that the dealers have either discarded. All this is bad. They didn't discard all the things. It says the dealers have either discarded or sanitized the goods after the incident. Yeah. So that means some of that stuff's still for sale.
Yeah, of course.
These people are shameless. Just throw it away. like once the hardware goes up someone's butt, it needs thrown away.
I don't know, man.
They cleaned it off. Can you imagine how much stuff this guy has shoved up his butt and put back on shelves in the stores?
Yeah.
How long?
Probably a lot. It's probably not the first time.
I mean, that just goes to tell you, I've never trusted these kilt people.
Yeah.
But obviously he's got it down, like he knew. He'd been doing it for a while.
I would say you're probably right.
If he knew he needed to wear a kilt. Screw this guy. Oh, he's going to go to jail. He's 6'6", 250 pounds. Houston suburb, Texas, crazy place.
Yeah.
All right, sports.
I actually don't have anything for sports this week. It's
good.
I've been kind of out of the loop, and
we had
we're in that kind of weird time where we're done with football and we're like waiting on March Madness, calm before the storm. You know.
We had a lot of sports. We had Gary Sports.
Yeah. Gary Sports.
That was your fix.
There you go.
Well, if you ain't got nothing else, man, let's put it back on the rails. That was a wild end, wild second half.
Yeah.
It's time to get back on the rails.
All right.
All right.
God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him. Hebrews 6:10.
What's that mean?
It means that you should be kind to others, and then you'll sometime get credit, but it won't be like as soon as you help them.
Yeah.
Because God never forgets. And you get credit because you're helping his people.
Mm-hmm. And God loves his people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good job, buddy.
All right. Hey, that's the show. Hope you get rested up today, Jake. You got a lot of stuff to do this week. Hope everybody has a great week. That's the show. Read them all.